All right, it's Thursday morning here on First Stop. Aaron Carolla, Carlo Koliak. Another late night for the fellas watching the Stanley Cup playoffs. And man, what a night it was. A night that featured a fight between Matthew Tkachuk and David Pastrnak. Yeah, that happened. And a 4-1 blown lead by the Edmonton Oilers, who go full Toronto Maple Leafs in Vancouver. What a night it was. How are we feeling, Coco?
I'm feeling surprised this morning. Waking up to the result of the Edmonton Oilers game, I went to bed when it was 4-1 Edmonton, and it just seemed like they had taken total control of this game.
Exactly the same for me. Exactly.
And I wake up, my alarm goes off, and I see a bunch of notifications on my phone, and I'm seeing stats of Edmonton and stats of Vancouver, and I'm like, wait a minute, did Vancouver come back and win this game? And lo and behold, they did. They score four unanswered goals against the Edmonton Oilers, and they win the hockey game. And I guess I shouldn't be surprised, considering
you predicted this.
I predicted this would happen because of history biting Edmonton in the ass, where historically it's almost like the Maple Leafs, where they just historically are just not a good first-round playoff team, and they lose in Game 7s all the time. The Edmonton Oilers lose a lot of Game 1s in series, and this is the eighth time in the last nine Game 1s that they've lost.
Such a weird,
bizarre.
It is bizarre, and it's the same with the Leafs in Game 7s. You're like, okay, these are the coin flip games. These are games that they have just as good a chance to win as the others. And do I still think Edmonton will beat Vancouver? I do, although I will say, from what I saw, and I know I did see a lot of the third period, because third period puck drop was like, I don't know what, 11:45. It was getting late for us. But I think Vancouver, for the most part, did carry the play in Game 1. And the third period, they were utterly dominant. Now, there were some really bad goals on both sides, including that Connor Garland goal. I'm not sure if you saw that one in the third.
Yeah.
Where Stuart Skinner just looked terrible in that one.
He scored Jason Spezza special.
That's exactly what it was. Wow, that's a great comparison. A fake slap shot. The goalie opens up the legs. You slide it right through. It's a terrible goal. Can't go in. Shelov's also allowed a couple of bad ones early on, too, including Zach Hyman, who scored twice, has 8 goals already in these playoffs. What a stud. Hyman has 8 goals already.
Holy
They're through
crap.
One game of round two. If the Oilers get to the cup final, and that's a long way from happening, I'd be very curious to know how many goals Zach Hyman ends up with. I could just feel Toronto Maple Leafs fans cringing every time. Yeah, could use some of those goals in the first round. Hyman has 8 through, wait, Edmonton played, what, 5 games in round one? So that's now 8 and 6 games. The Leafs scored 12 goals in 7 games in total.
So, 8 goals in 6 games. Wow. Well, he had he had a hat-trick spot. He had a 2-spot last night.
Yeah, he's a beast. He's a beast.
Look,
but yeah, it's crazy. It's crazy that you can't blow a 4-1 lead in the Stanley Cup.
No.
And for Edmonton to do that, Stuart Skinner was not good. McDavid was very quiet. He had an assist. Zero
and
shots.
And they played
on
half
goal.
The game without Draisaitl, too, which is a big question mark right now.
Draisaitl played only 16 minutes. He had cramping and equipment issues, according to
I don't know
Chris
how much
AKA.
I buy that, man.
No.
You don't
no,
miss
don't,
a game with equipment issue.
No,
like,
I don't
come
think
on.
So. I don't think so. Although Charlie McAvoy missed a bunch of time last night for he got cut, and he came back and then left again and then came back and then left again. I think the stitches weren't holding, or the suturing, whatever they were trying to do to his face. But, yeah, I mean, McDavid, for the first time in his playoff career, didn't have a shot on goal. And kudos to Vancouver. I mean, if you can hold Connor McDavid without a shot on goal in a 60-minute hockey game, you're doing something right.
And Vancouver, that's the fifth time they've beaten the Edmonton Oilers this year, now improving their record to 5-0 against them. So don't tell Vancouver they're underdogs in this series. And Vancouver believes they can beat the Edmonton Oilers. Now, do I think it's going to happen? No. I think over the course of a series, I think Edmonton will find a way to win more games than lose more games. But credit to Vancouver, because going in, especially in the first period, it almost seemed like Vancouver was giving Edmonton way too much respect. because of all the hype coming in, oh, this offensive juggernaut, oh, their power play, and it didn't help that less than 2 minutes into the game, they take a too many men on the ice penalty, and Edmonton scores on it. But that was Edmonton's only power play of the game. So if you think of, like, Vancouver's game plan, stay out of the box. Make the game physical for Edmonton. And, look, Vancouver led the game with 35 hits, and they took one penalty in that game. Now, granted, Edmonton blows a 4-1 lead. And even if you talk about, you know, Shelovs and some of the goals he let in, three out of the four goals he let in, he had no chance on because they were deflections. And some of them by his own players. So a lot went, like, I don't think this score really reflects, you know, the game itself. Like, Vancouver outshot Edmonton 24-18. Like, Vancouver deserved to win this game, even though it was 5-4. They had to come back 4-1. I mean, you look at all the categories, they led in almost every category, and, you know, I know Vancouver was 0-for-3 on the power play. Their special teams didn't help, but 5-on-5, they were the way better team.
Yeah, and you talked about those shots, the shot totals. I mean, for Vancouver to hold Edmonton to just 18 shots on goal, I mean, kudos to them. That's a really, really impressive defensive performance from them. Hopefully there's no riots overnight in Vancouver. Because, you know, that's it. Those people just go crazy.
No
win
kidding.
Or lose. 94, yeah. 2011. I mean,
they did it after their game five win. It was game six win in Nashville.
Yeah, or maybe the BC Lions have a big game, a big win in the playoffs. Yeah. They have a riot or something. But I was talking to our friend Adam Chernoff last night.
Oh,
who
nice.
Who lives in BC. And he's not a native British Columbian. He's from Saskatchewan. But he continues to talk about the Vancouver sports fan, just how passionate and crazy they are. And, they take 94. They talk about 94 in 2011 all the time there because they're scared that it could happen again. The mayor of Vancouver.
Yeah, he's banning watch parties.
As they should, because for whatever reason, the city of Vancouver cannot control itself when it comes to the Vancouver Canucks.
It's almost like winning gives them a reason to destroy the city. Yeah.
No, have you ever seen the movie?
Not good people.
You ever seen the movie The Purge, where for 24 hours you go kill whoever you want, do whatever you want. There's no laws. That's what happens in Vancouver after Canucks win.
We don't need that in this world.
I hope everything was kept under control in Vancouver last night, because they tend to go nuts there. So and as they should. I mean, they should be thrilled about that game one win. Game two tomorrow night, and I am really excited for that game and that series to be on a weekend, so I can actually stay up and watch the entire thing, as opposed to it starting at 10 p.m. I would much prefer 10 a.m.,
but
10 p.m. Eastern time.
Again, you know, you watch another night of playoff hockey, and it was awesome playoff hockey. You know, you talked about game two in Florida-Boston and a huge response game from Florida and all the playoff intensity we saw in that game. Jeremy Swayman gets pulled because the onslaught of Florida just can't be stopped.
He's human. Who knew?
He's human. And then just the message sending at the end of that game from both teams was incredible theater. Absolutely incredible theater. Like, the fact that we saw a playoff game where David Pastrnak asked his coach if he could go fight Matthew Tkachuk.
Oh, so good.
While he was on the bench, and then both players stepped onto the ice off the bench, gloves thrown off, and I know it was a little bit more of a wrestling match, but who cares? You love to see it.
Shades of Le Cavalier-Aginla in the Cup final.
Well, those guys were throwing bombs.
Those guys know how to fight. Pastrnak, although Matthew Tkachuk has been in tons of fights in his NHL career, you'd think. I don't know the exact number. I don't think Pastrnak's been in many, but that's the best thing. And both Jim Montgomery and Paul Maurice postgame, I'm sure 20 Fingers putting the audio together, they loved it.
Yes.
It was so old
school. Did you see Jim Montgomery's face, his reaction when David Pastrnak asked him to go fight Matthew Tkachuk? He's like, wait. You want to go fight Matthew Tkachuk? Yeah, go ahead. Yeah, let's go. We're down 5-1. Who cares? Go send a message to them. Go make a statement for our team. Go get our boys riled up, because give us a reason to celebrate after a 5-1 loss or 6-1 loss it ended up being. Because I've never seen a coach so happy. to get one of his best players to go out and drop the gloves.
Maurice loved it too. Yeah, those are two superstars. Those are two superstars going toe to toe. And yeah, I loved it. I mean, that game, Barkov. Like, listen to this stat line for Alexander Barkov: 2 goals, 2 assists, +2, 4 shots on goal, 9 hits. That is a performance, my friends. Wow.
Looking at that game last night and seeing what transpired, what's the first thing that comes to your mind when you talk about them, when you think about the Maple Leafs?
Well, we had been talking about this leading up to game two, and then, well, you know, if Boston were to go up 2-0 on Florida, what is the reflection like that on the Leafs? My reaction is like, I try to watch these games. I try to avoid watching these games for this purpose. Well, I don't avoid them, but I think what I'm trying to say is you don't want to make a direct comparison between what Florida and Boston are doing in round two to what you think the Leafs may have done in round two. But I kind of feel like that's inevitably the result.
But it just feels like almost every game you watch is taking another shot at the Maple Leafs. And the reason why I asked you that question is because do you think we would ever envision a time where any of the Maple Leafs star players would do what we saw last night?
Oh, I think Mitch Marner definitely would have dropped the gloves against anybody. Absolutely.
And like, it's just, again, we're seeing second round of the playoff hockey here, and we're seeing some of the things that teams and players invest themselves in for winning. And then you go back to this Maple Leafs group, even Austin Matthews, throw Austin Matthews in there, throw William Nylander, throw John Tavares, throw Morgan Rielly in there. Can you envision any one of those guys? Game one was a perfect example. Game one against the Boston Bruins, 5-1. Was there any message sending by any of the Toronto Maple Leaf players in that game? No. Like none.
Stamkos and Matthews Boston last year, I suppose, but...
You know. Did they, though?
No, I mean, Stamkos fought Matthews more so than Matthews fought Stamkos.
Right? And so, like, okay, yeah, a little tussle. But you watch those games yesterday, and you're thinking to yourself, I can't envision the Maple Leafs investing themselves in that type of playoff hockey. And that's why this team continues to lose every year in the first round, because there's no investment made for the long-term run that this team envisions itself making.
I think that's absolutely fair. Also, they can't score goals. And well, that's exactly like, what Florida did last night. They had 6.
Yeah. In back-to-back games, you see Boston put up a 5-spot, and you see Florida put up a 5-spot. In game one of the other series, you're seeing both teams score 4 or more goals.
Do you know who would look really good in a Maple Leaf jersey next year? Brandon Montour. Right-handed shot, power play quarterback, had a goal and 2 assists last night. I thought he was a beast last night for the Panthers, and he was mocking Brad Marchand with his whole licking.
Oh, dude, Brandon Montour would be the perfect fit on the right side.
I love Brandon Montour. I'm a huge fan. Mm-hmm. I think anybody who's watched the NHL over the last couple of years would be a huge fan of that acquisition as well. What is he looking at as a free agent, Montour? It's got to be 8+, no?
I think so. I mean, he's a 50-plus point defenseman.
Yeah, he's a stud. He's a total stud, is Brandon Montour. This year, he had 33 points in 66 games, but last year he had 73 points in 80 games. He's got to be at least $8 million a year, I would think. As a right-handed shot power play quarterback, play your top four.
Well, the thing for him is he's just turned – actually, he's going to be turning 31 on April 11th. So he's
good Brantford boy. Oh, let's.
He's
going to
be a 31-year-old entering free agency now. Is somebody willing to give him a 7-year contract as a 31-year-old?
No, thank you. No, thank you.
Maybe, but I think somebody would be happy to give him 5 or 6 years at $8+ million a year. I think his salary this year is $3.8 million.
Let's double it. Welcome to Toronto.
I mean, you throw something between 7 or 8 at him, I think that's a great fit. And what you love about Montour is a couple things. One, incredible skater. Two, incredible hockey IQ, especially on the offensive side of the game. But three, and I think this is the most important thing, he's a fierce competitor. This guy, yeah, like, plays with an edge, gets in guys' faces, doesn't allow his size, he's only 6 feet, doesn't allow his size to be a determining factor to his play. Like, he plays way bigger than his size. Sign me up. If that's a guy that Maple Leafs target and the Maple Leafs get, it'd be an absolute home run.
I was looking at potential free agent defensemen, especially on the right side. Brett Pesce is one. Brandon Montour is another. Chris Tanev is another. We talked about him enough this year. Sean Walker still remains a pending UFA.
Doesn't Chris Tanev feel like an absolute lock to be a Toronto Maple Leaf next year?
I have said that before, and that was always the speculation about Tanev, that he wanted to be a Leaf, wanted to come home, just they couldn't make the trade happen. And eventually he ends up in Dallas, and he's looked really good in Dallas, as you would expect. They need offense from their back end. Chris Tanev doesn't provide any offense. You're going to commit the TJ Brody money to Tanev and not get any type of offensive, but that's why I love the Montour idea, because you got to find someone who could quarterback.
Oh, absolutely.
Who could power play your quarterback is what I almost said there. But that's the thing. And we talk about potential Marner trade. What could that look like? What is the return? And I don't know. I'm not sure if they're going to be able to trade Mitch Marner because he's got a no move clause, and who knows how eager he is. But or if they want to trade Mitch Marner, I don't know. But what I do know is that they need to find. I love Morgan Riley. I think he's a great player. He's not a quarterback of a power play anymore. It's just not. You need a shot threat. I think a right shot defenseman who could do that. Brandon Montour, the campaign starts today. You're coming. You're coming to Toronto, and we got to get you here, buddy, because I think the Leafs could really use him. There's some news on the Leafs, at least some speculation from TSN Hockey Insider Darren Dreger about their next head coach, and could be your former head coach, Coco. We'll hear what Dreger had to say yesterday with Gino Retta. We also will talk about the Jays who win. Yes, the Jays are back. And the key to their success, a team meeting. Who knew?
Oh, great.
You got the Minnesota Twins coming to town with that stinky summer sausage that has been the catalyst for their success. It's our number one, Karol Nikolayakovo, here on TSN 1050. We'll talk to TSN hockey analyst Mike Johnson live from Czechia ahead of the World Hockey Championships, which begin tomorrow. You'll be on the desk for Canada and Great Britain on Saturday morning, 6 a.m. Have an alarm set already, Carlo. I'll be ready to go. 5:55 Saturday morning. Going to skip golf. Won't play because I need to watch you and those beautiful suits you put together as you embark on this World Hockey Championship journey. Zero sarcasm there. Also, shout out to my boy Zach, who's on his way to play golf right now. I have a huge admiration for those who play golf before the workday even begins. That's how you get a day started.
My brother-in-law does that. My brother-in-law goes for like 6:30, 7 o'clock tee times. He plays a quick 18, and then he goes to the office and goes through a full day of work.
That's a long day. That's a
grind. It is.
By 3 o'clock, you must be like, why did I play golf today? I could have slept for three more hours. But golf, you gotta fit it in.
And he walks, too. He walks.
What an animal. He is an athlete, a true athlete. So,
sure is.
Shout out to all those. Yesterday, I went to play golf. Long drive up to Uxbridge, Ontario. Zero inclement weather on the radar. Like, it looked like a perfect day, 20 degrees and sunny. I show up and I'm like, looks quite cloudy. That's a little bit concerning. And it poured for like an hour.
Wow.
And we pulled the chute after nine holes because, I mean, all of a sudden.
Why would you?
Thanks,
you probably weren't dressed for it.
No, not at all. Dude, I was 20 degrees and sunny when I left at my house. And I'm like, okay, this is going to be a glorious day.
Okay,
and
so.
It was awful.
So I actually joke with friends of mine now because when we talk about like making plans and stuff like that, everyone's like, well, what's the weather going to be like? And I'm always like one step ahead when it comes to weather because I'm constantly checking my weather app because as a golfer.
Yes.
That's become my thing. It's, okay, what does the weather look like? When can I plan to play golf? So the question I ask you is, and this is the mistake some people make, is when they look at the weather app, they're always stuck on the weather that's in their location. Like I have, on my weather app, I have like 10 different parts of the city saved on my app because that's normally where I find myself playing golf. So on your weather app, did you get stuck on the weather that was supposed to be in your area, or did you search Uxbridge?
I did search.
Okay, Uxbridge. So you're a professional weather guy.
Oh,
like
I
me.
Am. Yes. I could be a meteorologist tomorrow for CP24. All right, cold front coming in from the west. A little downward wind front on the upper east side of the quadrant. All right, anyways. Yeah. Yes, but it's also about the radar. Don't look at like the hourlies or anything else. The radar is the only thing that matters. Mm. Unfortunately, I did look at the radar yesterday. There was zero green or yellow, and it just emerged out of thin air.
It just snuck up on you.
It sucked.
You know what?
It sucked.
The weather gods did not want you to play golf yesterday. You must have done something on the show yesterday to piss off somebody that controls the weather. I don't know what it is. Maybe we can think about it.
My golf game absolutely sucks right now, too. I got some major problems.
Okay.
I'm strongly contemplating going to 5, 6, and 7 hybrids instead of irons.
You're gonna completely remove.
You're
gonna go full 60-70-year-old man.
I might go into Golf Town to talk to our boy Mike and get his thoughts. Yeah. He would not be a fan of that. He would be like, "You're not doing that."
He's already not a fan of your shirts. He's not gonna be a fan of your golf.
He hated my shirts. Those shirts are sick, Mike. Come on. But I don't know, man. I think that's the way of the future. I truly do. Nelly Korda plays a 6 hybrid. She wins every single time on the LPGA Tour, so maybe she knows something that
I
don't.
Hey, one thing I learned is in golf, you can't worry about what other people have to say. Like, did you see my boy Trouba the other day with new sets of irons? He was using club heads, iron heads.
Oh,
he was
iron covers. It's disgusting. Yeah.
He was putting iron covers.
Our boy
on
Ryan
his
irons. K was chirping the you know what out of you cannot have iron covers.
But to his defense, he said he's doing that so it helps himself slow himself down playing the game of golf. Right? So
check out
the
text I just sent you. It's a screenshot of a message that I had with a certain guest who joins us at 8:15 today. And that's the exact reaction I would expect from most people.
Wow.
Yes.
You actually asked him about that?
He's the person I'd be curious to know their thoughts. Because, you know, we play golf with this guy, and that's James Duthie. He would not be a fan of me going 6-7 hybrid and going old man.
But here's the thing, AK. You have to do what works for you.
I know. But am I willing to subject myself to the chirps?
Well, who cares? As long as your golf game is seeing the improvement, or at least seeing the effect of what it is you're doing and having the impact that it has. Like, people chirp me for using a yellow golf ball, but you know what I say to them? I don't really care because it works for me.
If it works for me, it works for you. What tagline is that? Well, that's some kind of company. If it works,
it works for me. Oh, that's 5-Hour Energy.
Oh, yeah. Remember them? Landsberg. Yes. Yeah, Landsberg. Do you think Landsberg still wakes up really early and hammers those things like he used to?
I know he still wakes up really early. I don't think he hammers 5-Hour Energies anymore. He's too busy driving around in convertibles.
Yes, a green convertible. Do you know who sent me that message?
Okay, that's a perfect example. He drives a green car. Do you think he cares
so
what other people say?
I get a text from Josh Lundberg yesterday around 12. We called him maybe at, 9 o'clock yesterday?
Did he ask why he called?
To wish him a happy birthday. J-Lew writes to me, "Sorry I missed your call. You must really be desperate for content now that the Leafs are out." And I'm like, no, we just wanted to wish you a happy birthday. And then a couple of hours later, he sends me a picture of Landsberg driving somewhere in this green convertible.
Yeah. And shout out to Landsberg.
Yes. What a stud. That guy is living life post-TSN, doing his thing, taking care of people's mental health. We love Michael Landsberg. His car, maybe not so much. But
questionable choice. But yes.
I mean, but convertible life is pretty sweet.
Buddy, if the weather was as nice as it was yesterday, well, it's apparently not for you, but for me it was gorgeous.
Does the Policaro Group have any convertibles for sale?
Of course they do, man. They got Beamer. They got Porsche. They got all kinds, man.
All right.
Lexus.
Now we're talking.
Yeah.
All right. Wow.
So anyways, going back to your golf game, again, this is a good reminder that you shouldn't care what people think. Yeah, you're probably going to have to accept some chirps with it, but you got thick skin. You embrace it.
No, I don't.
Dude, early on this season, so I played my first five rounds of the season in like chilly weather. Like you're wearing pants, hoodies, maybe double hoodies this time. Vests. I wore two gloves every round because that's how cold it was. My first round playing without two gloves, I shot 90. And then I start thinking to myself in my head, I'm like, wait a minute, should I go Carlo two glove and wear two gloves? So I played a whole round with...
When you say two gloves, like two golf gloves on
two
top
golf
of one
gloves.
Another?
No, no, okay. No. Just...
Oh, I just was, on both... Oh, okay.
On
all
both
right.
hands.
That makes more sense. Wow.
Two
nice,
golf gloves.
Nice question, Aaron. Idiot.
I can't believe you just said that.
Well, listen, I don't think
two golf clubs on top of each other.
I think there's a reason I went to Western. So
I started thinking to myself, wait a minute. I played my whole hockey career with two gloves on. Why wouldn't I try two gloves normally if it allows me to feel better holding the club in my hand? So I tried it for a whole round. Guess what I shot for a whole round in normal conditions?
71 79.
Okay, so it's
there you
like
go.
now I'm in my head because I'm like, okay, what do? I pull out the two glove or do I just try to go back to normal things? So do what works for you, man. Like I couldn't care less if I had to go to two gloves and I heard people chirping me, but I'm shooting in the 70s every time. You know what I'd give them? I'd give them the old middle finger saying,
right,
I don't care if you make fun of me, I shoot in the 70s all the time.
Well, we'll have to see. Maybe a visit to golf town. We'll at least try it out. We'll try it out and see what it looks like. And if I'm an old man, I'm an old man. What are you going to do?
Yeah.
What are you going to do? I am an old man, but I'm working on it. I'm working
whatever
on
works, things. Buddy.
Whatever works. So, yeah, we will hear that clip from Darren Dreger talking about the future at head coach for the Toronto Maple Leafs, which is sounding more and more certain in a negative way for Sheldon Keefe and his potential successor. That's next.
What you know about rolling down in the deep when your brain goes.
It is the eve of the big management press conference for the Toronto Maple Leafs featuring Brendan Shanahan, new CEO Keith Pelley, and Brad Treliving, the general manager of the Toronto Maple Leafs. And we wondered earlier this week if we'd have clarity on Sheldon Keefe and his future in Toronto before that date, or maybe on that date, and it's becoming increasingly likely that the answer is yes. Here is Darren Dreger yesterday in conversation with Gino Retta talking about Sheldon Keefe's future.
Again, given my experience in this chair, it seems more likely that the Toronto Maple Leafs will make a coaching change, but it's more based on the history of failure with the Toronto Maple Leafs with Sheldon Keefe as head coach than it does with how hard he coached and the adversity that he overcame this year with a new general manager peering over his shoulder. So if the Maple Leafs make change, I'm pretty sure they will, then I think that has more to do with the fact that Sheldon Keefe has been involved in disappointment for as long as he has in Toronto.
Darren Dreger, very careful with his words. He doesn't want to get caught up in saying something that could be controversial, and I totally understand why. He's a journalist. He has, I'm sure, been digging at this story for, by the way, great shirt today, Hakuna Matata. Is that the Ryan Reeves special right there from Balkamania?
Yeah,
what a shirt.
Apparently it doesn't mean much now, but...
Was, Hakuna Matata, relax. In the offseason, Brandon Montour will come and save you in free agency.
It means no worries.
It means no worries. That's right. And there may be some worries if you're Sheldon Keefe. Dreger also, later in that interview, talked about some potential replacements should they move on from Keefe.
I know that Craig Berube just wants to get back in the National Hockey League as a head coach. And the pedigree of Berube, man, that ticks a lot of boxes for all the teams that I've just mentioned, including the Maple Leafs. The Maple Leafs, if they make the change, are going to need some level of experience. So if it's not Craig Berube, then you look at Todd McClellan, whose name has been out there for a while. You know, what about Gerard Gallant, who's been on the sidelines? Again, you're talking about experienced NHL head coaches, and I think that that's a very attractive asset as Brad Treliving continues to go through, you know, his deliberation on what to do with the head coaching position in the Maple Leafs.
Also, Daryl Sutter, prime candidate for the job.
Yeah.
Sorry, just wanted to add that in. Darren, I mean, you got to make AK the Mentalist look good here. Come on, buddy.
So,
you mentioned Berube, McClellan there. Like, these are guys, Gerard Gallant, who have a ton of experience, and all three of whom who are kind of like hard-ass old-school dudes. And I think that's exactly what the Leafs are in the market for. It's exactly what the Leafs should be looking for.
A lot of them are guys that have, or all the guys mentioned, are guys that have great track records too, right? I mean, Gerard Gallant doesn't really have the resume of Stanley Cup, but you look at the jobs that he's done with both Vegas and New York with the Rangers, he's helped take those teams, you know, deep into the playoffs. Todd McClellan, his record speaks for himself. I mean, coaching a very experienced team in San Jose for a number of years, not getting to a Stanley Cup final, but, you know, a team that's constantly knocking on the door. And obviously Craig Berube. Craig Berube is a guy that his resume is, you know, very strong considering the job he did in St. Louis. I had him as a coach in Philadelphia, and I absolutely loved him as a coach. And not because he's a guy that blew me away with some of the X's and O's that you would expect from a coach. And nowadays, like, you don't really get blown away from that from coaches because, I mean, if you're in the NHL, you should know how to play systems. But what I loved about Craig Berube is how he kept guys accountable. Like, there was no, you know, beating around, you know, any bush or any sort of situation. There was no soft love. It was all tough love. It was all brutal honesty. It was all telling you what you needed to hear instead of what they wanted you to hear when any time a situation came around. And this guy demands structure. Like, demands it. If you don't play within structure, you're going to hear it from him. And that's the beauty about him. Like, he's not one of those guys that gets very emotional when it comes to wins and losses or even when it comes to situations. But he's clearly a guy that is not shy to get stuff off of his chest. He tells you what it is and how it is. And that's what I've always admired about him. And everybody that's played for him will say the same thing. And, you know, the job he did in St. Louis at the time when he stepped in, I mean, look, they had Jordan Binnington, who literally came out of nowhere that year and helped lead that team to the Stanley Cup. But they also had Alex Pietrangelo on the back end. They had Ryan O'Reilly leading that forward group alongside, you know, the Braden Schenns and the Vlad Tarasenkos. And so your team has to be built a certain way, but the message changes. And that's what I think. If the Maple Leafs do make a decision behind the bench, it's all about changing the message. It's not about, you know, playing a different system. It's not about, you know, having a guy come in here and reinventing the whole, you know, way the NHL is played. That's not what Craig Berube is. Craig Berube is about message sending. And he's about getting the players' attention. And for that reason alone, I would welcome that type of change and be refreshed knowing that, you know, maybe that's something that can help get this group going. I have a hard time believing that any coach could get this group of four players playing at a different level come playoff time because they've been given a long enough niche. But at this point here, you've got to try something different because clearly what you've been continuing to double down on year after year hasn't worked. And if you can't trade the players, the NHL is the easiest league in the world where you change the coach because we've seen a lot of it happen over the last couple of years.
Sheldon Keefe, at this moment anyway, is the fourth or fifth longest tenured coach in the National
Hockey League. And I've said this a million times, Jake. You've heard me say this. I am a big fan of Sheldon Keefe. I'm a big fan of his coaching style. But clearly, something about his coaching style and something about his messaging clearly can't get this group past to the next step, and something has to change, and I believe it will.
Yeah, I think I'm in total agreement. Let's say they do decide to move on from Keefe. Do you think he gets one of the vacant jobs in the NHL this offseason? If he wants it?
Like, I don't think Sheldon Keefe's, like, excited to go to San Jose or
Winnipeg.
Maybe Winnipeg. I think Sheldon Keefe, look, he's got 2 years of guaranteed money coming in. You can
if he's fired, yes.
If he's let go. I don't want to say fired because fired would mean that he did a bad job, right? And I know it's a firing, but I'm going to say let go.
Okay.
Moving on. Parting ways. Because I think the fact that knowing that he's got guaranteed money coming in the next couple years, he expressed how he believes in himself as a coach and the press conference saying that he believes he's gotten a lot better and he believes that he's at a point right now where he wants to win so bad. He's not going to walk into a situation where he's going to go take a team that's going to take 2, 3, even 4 years to rebuild. I think he's going to be one of those guys that any other team that's looking, that has a team that is willing to, they're close to winning right now, they're going to look at Sheldon Keefe and look at his track record and say, man, this guy's got a really good track record of regular season success. Obviously, hasn't been able to replicate that in the playoffs. But I do remember listening to Craig Button speak on SportsCenter last night. He compared him to Al Arbor, how Al Arbor was one of those guys, too, that had a lot of regular season success. And then once he had that postseason stuff, I think he won, like, what, 3 Stanley Cups? And I'm not saying that Sheldon Keefe is that guy, but he's definitely made a good name for himself. I think if the right opportunity is available with a team that's like ready to win, I think a team out there would jump on him quickly to bring
Al
him
Arbor
in.
And the Islanders in the 80s won 4 straight Stanley Cups with Trottier and Bossy and all those studs back in those days. What a time that was for the Islanders. So maybe Sheldon Keefe does get another opportunity. Maybe it's this year. Maybe it's
and
next year.
And obviously
that's the case. But
the wild card here for the Maple Leafs is Joel Quenneville. And I think if Joel Quenneville was available and eligible to return to the NHL, this move would have been done already. But the fact that there's still hurdles to overcome with his, I wouldn't say his eventual return, because you don't know if he'll ever be allowed to return to the NHL, but possible return, teams are going to be lining up for his services if he's available, including the Maple Leafs. And I said this yesterday. I said, if there was a can't-miss guy out there on the market, this move would have been done already, which is why they're probably taking their time over these last couple of days and talking it over. And is Craig Berube that can't-miss guy? I think he's the best available. I don't know if he's a can't-miss guy. He's the best available guy out there.
It would be a move that would be well-received by the Toronto
100%
market as well. Fan base would like that hire. I think the fan base would really like any hire, unless it's someone who no one's ever heard of. But yeah, Berube, I think, would get 2 thumbs up from Leaf fans. Not that that matters, but I think that's something that you have to at least take into consideration. The scoreboard on the other side, Mike Johnson in less than an hour. We'll talk to James Duthie in hour number 3 as well. This is First Up. We begin in the NBA last night, where the New York Knicks, a 130-121 win over the Pacers. They're up 2-0, and it was not done in easy fashion at all for New York, as Jalen Brunson played just 8 minutes in the first half, had some kind of foot issue. You wondered, oh my God, is New York season over in round number 2 with Brunson out? But no, he goes full Willis Reed, comes back and plays great in the second half, finished with 29 points in 32 minutes. How about your paisan, Dante DiVincenzo? I imagine he's Italian, the guy, I would just assume. He had 28 points in 43 minutes, hit 6 threes. Dante DiVincenzo, unbelievable performance from him. Also, Josh Hart had 19 points, 15 boards, and 7 assists.
Big concern, though, for the Knicks, as OG Anunoby left that game with a hamstring injury, and you wonder
he's done. See him
how significant that's going to be for
them.
He's
a Band-Aid.
Because, I mean, the Knicks, great story, great game, great vibe in that building in Madison Square Garden for that game. Hard-fought game, but you wonder how hard it's going to be for them moving forward without certain players potentially not being available for them.
Anunoby, a great, great player when he's in the lineup, but he is hurt constantly.
All the time.
Constantly.
All the time.
And, yeah, they lose Anunoby. Oof, that's a massive loss. You got a hamstring injury, you don't return, you're missing a little bit of time in the NBA.
Hamstrings minimum 3 to 4 weeks.
Yeah, well, it could be, depending on the severity, for sure. With Anunoby, it could be longer. Who knows? Florida, 6-1 win over Boston last night. Alexander Barkov, a.k.a. Sasha.
Yeah.
One of the great handles He scores twice, has two assists. Sam Reinhart, four assists. What a night for the pending UFAs of the Panthers. Reinhart with four assists, three shots on goal, six hits, two blocks, and Brandon Montour going two assists as well. Those guys are both getting paid in a significant way, and they helped their causes last night. Also, Vancouver, 5-4 win over the Oilers in game number one.
Yeah, and the Jays. The Jays get a big win in Philly. I mean, who would have thought after a team meeting, these guys go and score a run? But we're not going to focus on that Toronto team, AK. We're going to focus on the real Toronto team. The PWHL Toronto women's team. First playoff game at home yesterday at Coca-Cola Coliseum in front of 8,500 fans. 4-0 shutout win. Yes, T. Dot.
We finally have a winner in this city.
T. Dot.
In the PWHL. We needed that. We needed the rejuvenation.
Suck on that, Minnesota.
Yeah, Minnesota. And now the Jays get to pat on Minnesota as well. Okay, that's probably not happening. It's the Jays still. But kudos to that, to the women for picking up a huge win. Huge win. And that's huge. The city needed a winner. And looks like we've got at least one. We'll talk about the Jays on the other side. We'll fill you in on everything in the NHL as well last night. Plus Mike Johnson in 45 minutes.
Formula One lives on TSN with every race all season long. And with TSN Plus, go that extra mile with onboard cameras, pit lane channel, and more.
Boy, is it good here.
F1 lives on TSN and TSN Plus.